Let's pray together. So, Father, it is well with our soul. It's well with everyone who's in your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we go into a new year, our desire, our longing, our prayer is to be faithful. We want to be faithful. We want to be faithful at the individual level, certainly, but Lord, we want to be a faithful church. So, Lord, as we look at your word now, as you show us what a local church is and what it does, Lord, give us open hearts, give us perceptive minds. Lord, help us to hear this word and not just hear it, but then to put it into practice. Do this work, Lord, and only you can. Only you can work in your people to bring about your glory. And I pray that you do that this morning through your word, by your spirit, and for the glory of Christ. It's in his name. Amen. Amen. Well, 2023 is officially upon us. And this week, undoubtedly, the gyms will be full. And refrigerators will be less full. Now, whether or not it will remain this way as we get into March, we'll just have to wait and see. But at least for a few weeks, for a couple of months, this will be the case. With the new year, there are new chances, a fresh start, a clean slate. Thus, many folks with the new year, they make resolutions. This year, I resolve to fill in the blank. And of course, there's nothing inherently wrong with setting good goals and working hard to achieve those goals. There's nothing wrong with that. By the way, some of you in here have made really good resolutions. Resolutions like, I'm going to read the Bible every day this year, or I'm going to pray more. And I'm so glad and encouraged to hear those kinds of resolutions, and I want to do nothing but encourage you to stay on that path. How my prayer has been that First Baptist Church of Perryville would read the Bible and pray, and I pray that all the more in 2023. By the way, I should mention here too, if that's you, like if you've made a resolution in terms of reading the Bible or praying, there are some plans, some Bible reading plans out in the hallway there that you can get your hands on, and that would help you stay on track. So I'd encourage you to take advantage of that. Resolutions. This morning, for just a few moments, I want to just ask this question. Not just of individuals, but like I want to ask this question of the church. What should we be doing? What should we be doing in 2023? So that applies to the individual level, but I want to bring it out. I want to ask us as a church, First Baptist Church, Perryville, what should we be doing this year? Like, what should we be resolved to do? I think it's a crucial question. And I think that because in our day, there are so many churches that get off track and focus on the wrong things. Or they try to do the right things with wrong methods. And so, over time, what happens, because these churches don't know who they actually are or what they actually should be doing according to the Bible, they grow more and more sickly and inebriated. The worst case scenario is that some of these churches are actually no churches at all, not according to the Bible. They're something else. I get these church magazines that show up each month in the mail here at the office, and I'm always pretty puzzled when I look through these things and I see the objections, the goals, the plans, the visions of some of the most prominent churches in America. In some cases, it's as if I'm reading something coming out of a car dealership and not a church. But brothers and sisters, if we want to know who we are and what we should be doing, we don't need to look to business experts of the world or the trendy and cultural visionaries. We need only to look at God's Word. God's Word shows us who we are and what we ought to be doing. And that's what I want to do this morning with you. I want to just take 2 weeks to look at this text to see, like, who are we and what should we be doing as First Baptist Church of Perryville? And I think Acts 2, 14 to 47 shows us that. I think we see here what it is that we should be doing going into 2023. And truly, not just 2023, but all of our days until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. I should say up front, to better help us understand this text, not everything that we read in Acts is to be repeated by the church today, okay? In other words, not everything we read in Acts is a prescription for the church today. So don't forget that the book of Acts is a narrative. It's a story is being told. Luke is telling us the story of how the gospel spread and the church came to be and how it grew just as the Lord had promised. And a lot of what we read in this book, it's stuff that actually happened in history, but it's stuff that was unique to that moment in God's redemptive plan. And it's not the norm for today. So let me just give you one example. One example of that in Acts 3, Peter and James walk up to a lame beggar and they tell him to get up in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gets up. They heal this man. So if we're not careful with Acts, what we can end up doing is saying, okay, well, does that mean we should go around doing the same today? Like, should this week, we're going to find people in Cecil County, get up, be healed, you're free. I don't think so. I don't think so. Peter and James were apostles. And at this point in God's redemptive plan, miracles and signs and wonders were being performed to validate the gospel proclamation of the apostles as the church was beginning to sprout. And Luke is recording that as history, not necessarily prescribing it for today. So when we read Acts, even when we read this text, we have to have a prescription versus description framework in our minds, lest we embrace some faulty ideas about the church today. Nevertheless, that's a parenthesis, put that over to the side. With all that in mind, let me say this about our text, Acts 2, 14 to 47. Here, right here, I do think we get the basic blueprint of not only what the church is, but what the church does. In other words, what we're reading here in many ways is not just unique to this church, but it's for every church. What we have here, brothers and sisters, in this text, is a description of a healthy church. This is what all churches should be aiming for. This is what First Baptist Church of Perryville should be aiming for. And by God's grace, this is what we're going to look like more and more. Okay, so I see 8 things the early church was committed to and that I believe First Baptist Church Perryville should be resolved to do this year and all our days. We're not going to look at all 8 today. Today we're going to look at 3, and next time we're going to look at 5. Here's the 3 things I want to show you. This year, First Baptist Church of Perryville, we should be resolved to, 1, preach the gospel. 2, be devoted to God's word. And 3, fellowship with one another. I want to show you those 3 things here in this text. So 1, we should be resolved to preach the gospel. This is what churches do. This is what healthy churches do. Number one, they preach the gospel. So right before Jesus Christ ascended to the right hand of his Father, he gave to the apostles and really to the whole church this mission. You know it well. Go into all the nations and make disciples. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. The apostles would obviously have a very unique role in this mission. And they served, according to the scriptures, as the foundations of the church as the Lord Jesus Christ began to build it up. As we come to Acts 2, the Holy Spirit came and filled the apostles and the other followers of Christ, just as Christ had promised them. And now they're ready. Now they're equipped for the mission. Moreover, the Holy Spirit's coming was accompanied by this miraculous speaking in tongues, so that all kinds of ethnicities who were present in Jerusalem were hearing the gospel in their language, in their own tongue. Now, some who were there, who are seeing this happen, this unique, miraculous moment in redemptive history happening, they're skeptical. They're thinking Peter and the gang are out of their mind. This is a new wine, and whatever happened, it's not good with this wine because this is crazy. And now that brings us to our text. Peter stands up and now filled with the Holy Spirit, which, by the way, is the only way we can do anything for Jesus Christ. We have to be filled with the Spirit. Peter's filled, he stands up, and he preaches boldly. The same man who had thrice denied the Lord Jesus Christ now stands up and preaches boldly to the men of Jerusalem. I want to just notice with you two quick things about this sermon. We won't go through the whole sermon. It's long. But let me just pick out two things with you. First, notice in his sermon, he explains Scripture. He explains Scripture. So do you see that? Just glance at it with me. Verses 17 to 21. You see those? Verses 17 to 21. What's happening there? Peter's quoting from the Old Testament, and he's explaining that text. Then in verses 25 to 28, same thing. He's explaining Scripture. Do you see that? Then verses 34 to 35, same thing. He's pulling texts from the Old Testament, and he's explaining them to the people. Okay? He's teaching what the Bible says. That's one thing. Second thing I want you to notice about this sermon, he proclaims the gospel. He proclaims the gospel. That there's no doubt in this sermon about who the spotlight is shining on. Peter is clearly and boldly proclaiming the person and work of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, I point out these two elements in Peter's preaching because I think that we get a good idea here of what preaching is. Preaching is explaining and heralding the Scriptures. Explaining and heralding the Scriptures. And as the Scriptures are rightly handled, rightly explained, rightly heralded, it will be Christ's person and work lifted up high for all to see. Why? Because all of Scripture points to Him. So what should be happening in the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Perryville this year and every year? Text should be explained and Christ should be proclaimed. If this isn't happening, there is no preaching going on in this pulpit. Self-help is not what we're after in this pulpit. So sermons are not to be like the magazine that you see as you check out at the grocery store. 15 ways to get rich. 10 ways to win the girl of your dreams. That's not what we're after. No, we explain texts and we proclaim Christ. That's what preaching is, and that's what must happen in our church for us to be faithful. Now, Notice what happens when Peter preaches the gospel. Okay, so Peter preaches the gospel, verse 37. Look there with me at verse 37. Now when they, that's everyone he's preaching to, there were thousands there. Now when they had heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" So after hearing Peter's sermon, upon a hearing of their sin and the person and the work of Christ, they want to know, what should we do with this news that we just heard? I think they're asking a question along the same lines as the one the Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Look at Peter's response in verse 38. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now you read that and you might be thinking, "Sam, wait a minute. I thought salvation was by faith in Jesus Christ." Indeed it is. It is. Peter isn't denying that here. Repentance and baptism are intrinsically connected to authentic faith. Okay? I'll put it this way. The only people who turn from their sin and turn to Christ are the people who believe that Christ really is who he says he is. And baptism is an outward expression of inward faith in Christ. Therefore, Peter can rightly say, "You must repent and be baptized, and you will be saved." And by the way, if you're an unbeliever gathered with us this morning, this is what I proclaim to you. This is what we as a church want you to most know. Are you longing for eternal life? Do you long to be forgiven of your sins? Do you want to be reconciled to God? You're made by the one and true God. And like all of us, you've sinned against Him. And what you most desperately need is to be forgiven of your sins. And here's what God calls you to do. It's found in Peter's words. Turn from your sin. Turn to Jesus Christ. Trust Him. And you will be saved. And then you should get baptized into a local church, which doesn't save you, but is the sign of the new life that you do have in Christ by faith in Him. If you want to talk more about that, you should find me or an elder after the service, or you can talk to even someone around you. So Peter preaches the gospel, and in preaching, he calls people to turn from their sins and trust in Christ. And what happens? 3,000 people believe and were baptized into the church. You see that in verse 41. 3,000 people believe and were baptized into the church. And by the way, we see here what a local church really is. If you're just looking like, what is a local church? Like, are we like the Elks? Like, what are we? It's a group of people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and who have been baptized and are now covenanted together doing the things that we see in verses 42 to 47. That's a local church. That's it. A group of people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who have been baptized and are now covenanted together to do the things that we see in verses 42 to 47. There's something else, too, that we see that I just want to take a moment to point out. We also see how local churches are born. There are 5,000 bizarre strategies that you'll hear, like how we're going to go plant churches out in the world. And almost all of them have nothing to do with what Peter's doing. Local churches are born this way and this way only. Preach the gospel. People believe. They get baptized and now they start following Christ together. That's it. That's the formula. Local churches are born when someone goes, preaches the gospel, teaches them how to follow Christ, baptizes them, they come together, now they're living for Christ together. That's it. That's how it happens. Well, I need to wrap up this first point. What do I really want to get across here to us? Brothers and sisters, as a church, we must be committed to preaching the gospel. this year, this day, all our days. We must be committed to preaching the gospel. Now, some of you, and I think it's a good question, some of you might be questioning, but Sam, this is Peter doing this. He's an apostle. And maybe you do that, you're a preacher. Isn't that gospel stuff, like that's for like those guys, you guys? I don't think so. That's not the picture we see in the New Testament. In fact, listen to Acts 8:4 describing this same church. Acts 8:4 describing this church. Those who were scattered went about preaching the word. So this church came under persecution. Remember, Saul is ravaging the church. Bad persecution is coming upon them. And what were they doing? They're going around preaching the gospel to everybody. So preaching or sharing or proclaiming the gospel is the responsibility of all us. You, me, all of us, First Baptist Church Perryville. The Great Commission is our commission. It belongs to all of us. It belongs to the church. Therefore, I'm calling us to be faithful to preach the gospel. And what will happen? What will happen when First Baptist Church of Perryville faithfully proclaims the gospel? By God's grace, He will save some. He will. That's what we're seeing in Acts 2, right? Verse 41, God added that day. Verse 47, the Lord added. Do you see it? The church faithfully preaches the gospel, and God in His sovereignty and grace saves some. He adds some to the church. That's our formula. We don't need all kinds of tricks and tips and weird strategies to try and win people into the church. And by the way, that never works, because if we start doing things like, I really want to impress the world, well, then what happens when you do get around to the gospel? They're not going to be impressed. They're going to leave. We don't try to win people. We don't try to win the world by looking like them. No, the gospel wins people. That's it. The gospel wins people. Brothers and sisters, hear me. Here's what we do. On God's word, here's what we do. We preach the gospel. We pray that God will save His people. And then we trust that He will do just as He's promised. That's it. That's what we do. So, share the gospel with that coworker. Tell the gospel to that friend. Talk about the gospel with that sibling. Tell that classmate about Christ. Speak with that neighbor about the good news. They need to hear the gospel. That's how men are saved. That's how the church grows. That's our mission. The Lord will save some, maybe not 3,000, but He will save some as we faithfully proclaim the gospel. All right, that's one thing. What should we be doing this year? Proclaim the gospel. Let me show you a second thing. Number two, we need to be resolved to be devoted to God's word. To be devoted to God's word. Look at verse 42, and really the rest of our time is going to be verses 42 to 47. Verses 42, look there with me. Okay, so this church has been born, and Luke now tells us what's going on in this new church. He says, and they devoted, first thing he tells us, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. First thing Luke says is they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. I think the first question is, okay, well what exactly is the apostles' teaching? No doubt, it's the very teaching of Jesus Christ. The apostles taught what Christ had taught to them. And that teaching, Christ's teaching, the apostles' teaching, that is now laid out for us in the Bible. More specifically, the New Testament. In other words, this church was devoted to God's word. That's what's happening here. They were devoted to God's word. Now, what about this word devoted? They were devoted. The word Luke uses here means to constantly attend to. Constantly attend to. So this church was constantly attending to the Word of God. They were constantly sitting under it, constantly listening to it, constantly embracing it with eagerness. Why? So that they would grow in the knowledge of Christ and obedience to Christ. And this only makes sense, right? This is what the healthy, authentic Christian desires. He wants to know more and more of the person and work of Christ. He wants to know more and more of the wonderful works of God. He wants to know more and more how he ought to live. So he just gives himself constantly to the Word of God. Psalm 119:12, David says, "Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes." That's the cry of the Christian. That's it. And that should be the passion of our church. Teach me, Lord. Show me wonderful things out of your word, Lord. Grow me, Lord. I want to know you, Lord. First Baptist Church of Perryville, let us be devoted. Let us be devoted like this to the Word of God this year. How will that look? How will that look? Well, let's start with the Lord's Day. So on the first day of every week, the Lord's Day, like today, we gather together to worship the Lord, which includes, as Scripture commands us, a time where we sit underneath God's Word as it's preached. So if you're wondering, like, what are you doing up there? Where do we get this whole preaching thing? Like, the Bible actually tells us to do this. When we gather together, Scripture's clear that there needs to be a time where someone who's able to teach teaches the church, explains the Word, and the church sits under God's Word. And beloved, I would say to you, be sure to prioritize this time. Be sure to let nothing get in the way of the Lord's Day. Don't let sports, games, hobbies, travel, and your plans pull you away from the Lord's Day, which is when the church comes together and drinks from the Word. Friend, maybe you've been spiritually weak lately. You've been floundering. You've been stumbling constantly. Why? Why is that happening? Could one of the reasons be you haven't been prioritizing the Lord's Day and you haven't been sitting underneath His preached Word? Yeah, the business is going well. Yeah, your favorite team is 10-1. Yeah, you're able to get a ton of stuff done. Meanwhile, you're withering away like a dead plant. You need the Lord's Day. You need His Word to come and wash over you, to go down in your soul and produce fruit. Only the Lord can do that. Only His Word can do that. The Lord's Day is for you to come and drink from God's Word. Come and rest in God's Word. Come and hear from your God who has saved you and loves you and cares for you and is working in you. Be sure this year, my dear friends, to prioritize the Lord's Day. Your faith will strengthen. Your joy will deepen. What's another way we can be devoted to God's Word? Studying it in small groups. I think we see that here in this text. So verse 46, we read that one of the things this church was doing was getting together in smaller groups in various homes. You see that there, verse 45 and verse 46? And it's very, very likely, as they were together in the homes, that they were discussing God's Word. Discipleship was happening. And I would just encourage us to think about this. Can we do the same this year? Can we be devoted to God's Word like this? So yes, the Lord's Day is the priority. Come, hear the preached Word. But then, can we get together with other brothers and sisters, like in our homes, and study God's Word? Are we able to get together, even if it's twice a month, with a brother or sister or with a small group of folks and open up God's Word and see what does He say? Maybe you can invite some saints over to your home, feed them dinner, and then open up God's Word around the table. Maybe you can come alongside some newer believers who need training. They need someone to disciple them. Maybe that's you. You can come alongside and disciple them over coffee or lunch. You know, every Tuesday, our church either has small groups or a prayer meeting. And both of those times include a time of looking at God's Word. Why? Because we want to be devoted to God's Word. Of course, there's another way to be devoted to God's Word, and that's to privately study it, to read it in private. Brothers and sisters, we're living in a time where we have abundant access to the Scriptures, abundant access. That this early church did not have this luxury. They didn't have it. They had to hear. We have it. We have more Bibles than people in our homes. How blessed we are. What a treasure we have. And yet, we don't always appreciate this treasure, do we? No, we leave this treasure unopened. We sleep in the extra hour. We scroll through social media. We watch YouTube. Got podcasts I've got to get to. Why? Why do we do this? Is it possible that we've forgotten just what a treasure this book is, the Word of the Living God? Beloved, when you open this book up, do you know God is speaking? He's speaking. Do you believe that? God will speak to you. Every morning you can wake up and God will speak to you. And when you open this book up and read these words, they're living and active and things will happen. You'll begin to grow. You will grow. You will grow in knowledge and faith and holiness. Do you believe that? Therefore, get up an hour or half hour earlier and read God's Word. You won't be sorry. You won't be sorry to do that. Or give yourself 20 minutes before bed and read God's Word. You won't be sorry. You'll grow. Or listen to it on your way to work. You won't be sorry. You'll know the Lord more. You'll be filled with joy. Or listen to it while you walk. You won't be sorry if you do that. You'll grow and you'll find gold, gold for your soul. I did mention earlier, if you're looking to get on track with reading your Bible, go out into the hallway and take advantage of some of that stuff. It will help you stay consistent in reading God's Word. So First Baptist Church of Perryville, let's be devoted to God's Word this year. Together and privately. Corporately and individually. Let's be devoted to God's Word. This is at the foundation. This is everything. If we get off this, we can't thrive, we can't live, we can't do the mission. Nothing good will happen if we stop drinking from the Word. Nothing good will happen. All right, let's look at a third thing we see in this church that we as a church should resolve to do as well. We've seen two, preach the gospel, be devoted to God's Word. Here's a third, and this is our final for this morning. Number three, let's be resolved to fellowship with one another. Let's be resolved to fellowship with one another. So look at verse 42 again. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Okay, we've seen that. What else? And to the fellowship. And to the fellowship. So they devoted themselves. That is, they were constantly attending God's Word. That's one thing. But they were constantly attending something else. What's that? To the fellowship. That's what the text says. To the fellowship. Now, what does that mean? What does fellowship mean? Does that mean they were just spending a lot of time together? Like when we think of fellowship, that's often what we think of, isn't it? Like just spending time together. That's not necessarily wrong. Certainly the local church spends a lot of time together, or at least it should be. But there's more here. The word for fellowship that Luke uses here is a word that I'm sure you've heard before, koinonia. Koinonia, it means community, participation, sharing, fellowship. So Christians, the Bible says, they now share the same Christ and love for Christ, and they have and they participate in the same mission, which is to advance the gospel of Christ around the world. So there's a sharing, this participation, this fellowship, this community now. This is massive. When truly grasped, I promise you, this totally transforms how we live. As Christians, we are now in a uniquely wonderful and profound relationship with one another because of our shared Christ. Or as one preacher put it, fellowship, or koinonia, is the mutual bond that Christians have with Christ that puts us in a deep, eternal, love-filled relationship and partnership with one another. So how does this fellowship expresses it? How does it express itself? Like what does it look like? Well, one way it expresses itself, we see here in our text, verses 44 to 45. Meeting needs, meeting each other's physical needs. These brothers and sisters, this local church, they had koinonia, and it showed itself in that they were meeting each other's needs. Do you see that? The Christian fellowship is one of such a flavor that when I see my brother or sister in need, because I love them in Christ and because I desire their good, I do what I can to help them. That's Christian fellowship. I want their good. How can I help you, brother? How can I help you, sister? What's mine is yours. Scripture says more about this fellowship, though. All through the epistles, we see that this fellowship expresses itself through our helping one another follow Jesus Christ. So in a Christian fellowship, there's much discipleship going on. We all want to grow in Christ, and we're helping and encouraging and pushing each other to do that. Closely related, but maybe slightly different, this Christian fellowship also expresses itself through the helping of one another to stay on the path. What do I mean by that? In other words, in the Christian fellowship, what we have is brothers and sisters who don't want anyone to fall away or veer from the path. We don't want anyone to turn from Christ. So maybe this looks like an encouraging word to a suffering saint. I know you're suffering, sister. But don't worry. The hour's closer than when we first believed. Maybe this looks like a gentle warning to a brother. Brother, don't move in. Don't move in with your girlfriend. That's not going to honor the Lord. That's going to be a snare to you. Maybe this looks like a loving rebuke to a friend who's walking the path of sin. Friend, you're going down the wrong path. Turn back while you have time. Don't do that. Don't go there. That's fellowship. I want what's best for you. I'm working for what's best for you, and what's best for you is Christ. So I'm coming alongside you, and I'm saying, He's this way. We got to go this way. We're going towards Christ. That's fellowship. This fellowship we have also manifests itself in our working together in the same mission. We have a same mission, don't we? We participate in a same mission. We share a same mission. Our goal in here, every one of us, if you're in Christ, our goal is the same. To make disciples of Jesus Christ of all the nations is our shared goal. This is the vision of First Baptist Church Perryville. And so what do we do? We link arms and we march forward together in the mission. So brothers and sisters, go deep into the koinonia that we have. Walk closely with your brothers and sisters in Christ in here. meet needs, give generously, love deeply, help others follow Jesus Christ, and let us help you. This is koinonia. Church is not meant to be a side item in your life. But for so many people, it's just that. It's like, I'll just get to it when I can. I'll just get to those people when I can. Like, it's like they're cool, but like my friend, my real friends, they're out here. I got the job, Sam. I got the job. I just trying to work it, trying to, you know. I'm about Christ. It's not about his people, really. That's not the picture in the New Testament. It's not. It's not meant to be a side item in your life. It is your life. The church is your life. You belong to Christ and his people, and they can never, ever, ever be separated. You can't do it. You can't do it in the New Testament. They go together. So I hate to say this to you, but if you've got Christ, you've got all of us. We're all in it together. We're a fellowship. We're brothers and sisters. We're a family. So embrace it, enjoy it, and go deep into it. It's God's design, and it will lead to your flourishing. It will lead to the church's flourishing. So in 2023, let's fellowship. Let's keep giving ourselves to this koinonia that we have, giving ourselves to each other, serving one another, loving one another, helping one another, encouraging one another, giving to one another. Well, we should conclude. What have we seen this morning out of this text? We've seen what it is that we must resolve to do this year if we're going to be a biblically faithful, God-glorifying, Christ-exalting church. Preach the gospel, be devoted to God's word, and fellowship with one another. And now, let us not just hear this word and then go on our way, but by God's grace, let us put what we've heard into practice. For this is what our God is calling us to. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for your word. It's clear, it's helpful, it shows us the right paths, it makes wise the simple. Your commands are good, everything you say is good and right. Lord, we've seen clearly who we are and what we're supposed to be doing as a local church. We've seen that clearly, Lord, in your word. We want to obey. Lord, we do want to obey. We want to preach the gospel. We want to be devoted to your word. We want to fellowship with one another. Help us do that, Lord. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be what you've called us to be. Help us to do what you've called us to do. That's our desire as Christians, as a church. We want to glorify you. We want to be obedient. So Lord, please, I pray, even right now, do this work in us. Even now, begin to sprout up these seeds so that more and more we look like the kind of church, and we actually are the kind of church that you're calling us to be. It's in Christ's name. Amen. Well, let's stand now.